Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you listen to the readings today, I'm curious if you heard that theme of God being rejected by people of different ages. They were denying his presence, perhaps even denying his existence. So just for review, let's take a little bit closer look at each one of the lessons, the readings that we had. In the verses leading up to our Old Testament reading for today, God tells Jeremiah to go to the temple. And he says, "Speak every word that I tell you. Don't hold anything back. Tell everyone who comes there to worship what I am about to tell you." Today we would call that telling it like it is. And so when God spoke to Jeremiah, he said, "Thus says the Lord." When we hear those words, that is a common indicator of God speaking to his people through a prophet. It's like saying, "All right, here's what I have to say. Pay attention. This is the gospel from here on." That phrase, "Thus says the Lord," is used over 400 times in the Old Testament. It's a phrase that means God is speaking to his people through one of the prophets, and he's speaking to us as well. Paraphrase, this is what God told Jeremiah to say. If you guys don't listen to me and follow my law, if you don't listen to what Jeremiah is telling you, I will destroy this house, that is you, and make destruction of this city an example for all the world. So what's going on here? What's God all upset about? He's certainly threatening these people with a catastrophe. The reason he's upset is that the people of Judah have turned away from him. They've worshipped idols. They even placed idols in the temple, God's house. Some were even sacrificing their children. Understandably, I guess, the people are not too happy with what Jeremiah has just told them. They are not happy because they have turned away from God, and he's telling them what they have done wrong, that they have turned away from God, and they are angry with him, and they say, "You are saying bad things. We're going to kill you." In the gospel lesson for today, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover, for Holy Week, and all of the events that will happen then. Some of the Pharisees warn Jesus, "Herod is about to kill you. Move on from here. Go run away and hide." That sounds a little strange because typically the Pharisees would not protect Jesus. They would like to have something bad happen to him. But they're not doing this out of the kindness of their heart. They're doing this so that he would move away from their jurisdiction and they would no longer have to put up with his teaching and listen to his message. And Jesus responds with the phrase that we have heard lots of times before, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not." Jesus would like to gather all of the people of Jerusalem in his time and bring them under his wings so that he could protect them and forgive them. But the people of Jerusalem and the people of Judah have moved away from God. They have rejected him and turned to idols and all of the things from the people that were there when they came into the promised land. The people of Jerusalem were rejecting even the promised Messiah. We hear Jesus use that double address, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem." That's translated as a very tender affection for the people there. Jesus is saddened. His heart is broken. He longs to gather his people there to him. And yet they reject him, and he knows they are planning to kill him. It's interesting that he calls Herod a fox, and yet compares himself to a mother hen. If you've ever had chickens, you'll know that a mother hen, when there's danger around, will gather her chicks to her and spread her wings and protect them from whatever that danger might be, knowing full well that she may die in that process. It is surprising that even in the city of Jerusalem, the city of David, where faith should have been the most prevalent, it was not. And Jesus was not believed as the Messiah, and he was rejected. In the epistle lesson for today, Paul writes decades after Jesus died and rose again. People then are still rejecting God. He speaks to people who have their minds set on earthly things. He speaks to the people by saying, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame. They too, in Paul's time, were rejecting God. Rejection of God is certainly not anything new. It began in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. At the time of the flood, people rejected God, and the only people left who believed in God were Noah and his family. People of the children of Israel started just moving away from God almost as soon as they started into the promised land. In Jesus' time, Judah was exiled because they rejected God. Jesus lamented over the people of Israel because they would not believe. Today, people still reject God. The New Age movement would have us believe that there's no such thing as sin or Satan or evil. And so if Satan and evil don't exist, then that leaves them open to turn to whatever gods they want, turn to earthly things and worship earthly things as their God instead. They would claim that God can be found everywhere, and therefore, because he can be found everywhere, he's in everyone, and therefore we will all end up going to heaven. And they justify their actions, saying that since science can't prove God's existence, God must not exist. But this worldview that the New Age talks about is not anything new. It stems from old pagan and Eastern religions. It's a belief that teaches man that man is inherently good and does not need a savior. And if we are to be truly honest with each other, with ourselves, we too would reject God. We want to live our life our way, by our rules. We subtly contend that God loves us because, well, we're just basically good people. We've done good things. Here we are in church on Sunday morning. And we secretly would feel that our good works would earn God's favor and earn us stars or points toward God in heaven. Our pride makes us feel like we are more concerned about our appearance, more concerned about what other people think of us, than the condition of our heart. So you see, in our brokenness, we too must admit that we reject God, given that option. Well, that's a pretty dim view of the world and its future and how we look at things. But there is some good news here. In spite of the rejection of the masses of God by all of these, over all of these centuries, it is Jesus who remains faithful. His love for us has not diminished. He continues to relentlessly pursue sinners, to pursue you and to pursue me, so that he might take us into his grace, that he might gather us together as a hen gathers her chicks, where he can offer us his grace and mercy and forgiveness. And you might say, well, where is that place? I want to go there. And the answer is, the place is right here, right now. We are gathered here today as God's children, and we are protected under his wings, the wings of our loving and gracious God. Today, Jesus invites you to come to him in that sacrament there on the altar. He invites us to be his children. He wants us to be his heirs so that we might come to him in the kingdom of heaven, so that we might have eternal life. It is Jesus who is the solution to the brokenness of the world. It is his solution that covers the darkness and lightens the darkness as well in our hearts, that grants us a new heart. The solution to the problems of the world rests at that altar. It is there that we see the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. It is there that we meet him today. It is there that we come to him so that we might be renewed by him. But we cannot do that on our own. It is the Holy Spirit that brought you here this morning. It is the Holy Spirit who will urge you today to come up to that sacrament and receive the body and blood. It is the Holy Spirit who gives you a new heart and a new and right spirit within you. It is the Holy Spirit who keeps us from rejecting God. And it is by the Holy Spirit that we receive God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Paul reminds us of this. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body into a glorious body like his. And so he says, therefore, my brothers, stand firm in the Lord. We all look forward to the day when we shall see God face to face, to see him in the glories of heaven, the place where with all of God's children we will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the meantime, we can be comforted by the peace that is described in the last verse of our psalm for today, Psalm 4. The psalmist writes, and we can be comforted by this, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep you strong in the faith that does not reject God, but turns to him in repentance. Amen.